This is Sound Ideas. I'm Mike McCurdy. The candidates for governor are crisscrossing the state today as they hit voters with last-minute appeals before Tuesday's primary election. Republican voters will decide whether Governor Bruce Rauner deserves to be their nominee again, heading into November's general election. His primary opponent is State Representative Jeannie Ives of Wheaton. She says Rauner can't win in November. During an interview with GLT's Ryan Denham, Ives says the social issues that triggered her run for governor take a back seat to solving the state's financial problems.
Fiscal reform in the state of Illinois begins with pension reform. And I know I say that sitting in a college town, so to speak. And that may be difficult for people to hear. But the truth is we cannot continue to spend 25% of our general revenues on pensions. It's crowding out everything else that this state has to do to operate. It's pretty alarming that when you look across our pension obligation, it eats up about 23% of our income. The average in other states is 3%. And the Wall Street Journal had a really good article about this a couple of months ago, if you want to look into it in more detail. But when I say that pensions are a problem in the state of Illinois, it means that we're an extreme outlier to the rest of the state. So it's crowding out what we need to do for developmentally disabled, what we need to do for infrastructure, what we need to do to support education. And until we solve our pension problems, we never solve anything. So the first step in that is obviously to stop digging the hole. And to do that, you should start with a 401k style plan for all new hires, all new hires. In fact, we're sitting in a university town, and currently there's about 20,000 SURS employees, state university retirees, that self-select the self-managed plan, and it's been in effect for 20 years. And so we don't even have to reinvent the wheel. We can start immediately with new hires into that same program, which is a really good idea.
And focusing just on new hires, do you think that will go far enough to resolving the issue?
No, it doesn't resolve really the issue at all, except long-term. Eventually you're paying for everybody's obligation in 1 year, and you never can get back into this debt. There's no unfunded liability if all the pension obligation is paid for in 1 year and never to accrue again. What it does do is it sends a strong signal to businesses and individuals and really the bond market saying that we're finally not going to keep enlarging and enriching these pensions. They've grown over the last 30 years. Pension benefits really are the part of the problem. In fact, they're the majority of the problem of our pension crisis. They've grown in the last 30 years since 1987, 1,063%. Whereas personal income has only grown about 127%.
So you've said that you want to rescind the income tax increase passed in Springfield over Governor Rauner's veto. How do you do that, given how much additional revenue that brings in, and still get Illinois to a balanced budget?
Yes. So I'm being a realist here. I understand that I can't just wave a magic wand and say, finally, we're going to repeal that 32% permanent income tax increase that really Rauner got boxed into doing because he never proposed a balanced budget. Then he had a feud with the speaker for 2 years, almost 3 years over the budget, which allowed our back bills to balloon $10 billion more. So it was $16 billion, and he had no place to maneuver. So he kind of let Republicans just slide. He didn't try and stop that tax increase. So now he's pretending that he didn't want it. But the truth is, his budget uses every dime of that. So you asked me, though, what I would do to take care of that. Well, first of all, we're going to take care of our back bills. It's nearly immoral, really, to hold this much in current account payments when vendors have provided services in the state of Illinois and we're not paying them in a timely manner. And then just in the first 7 months of this fiscal year, we've spent over $330 million just on interest payments for the back bills that we haven't paid on time. That's an outrage. That's an outrage. I mean, we spend nearly that amount of money on MAP grants in a year. We've got to budget to have that tax increase go away. That's our goal, to prioritize in the budget and show over time, hopefully after the first 2 years, after we've paid down our back bills, after we've done forensic audits at our agencies, and after we've taken out every grant line that is not producing anything, and then restructured whole agencies. After we've done all that, hopefully we will find the way that we can repeal, we can prove to the legislature that they can take back that tax increase.
Well, let's pivot now and talk about abortion. Governor Rauner signed HB 40.
That's a big pivot.
That's quite a pivot. Governor Rauner signed HB 40 last fall, making abortion eligible for coverage under Medicaid in Illinois and under the state's employee health insurance plan. You've called that a failure of leadership, a betrayal even. So how important was that one issue for you in deciding to ultimately run?
That was the trigger, really, for people starting to call around to certain Republicans and saying somebody needs to challenge this man. He doesn't represent our party. He doesn't represent our values. And what's more, he's totally revealed a character flaw and that he's a liar. And he lied to every single Republican down there because he told us he would veto that bill. And not a single Republican, even those who consider themselves moderate and pro-choice, did not vote for taxpayer funding of abortion. And then he lied to Cardinal Supich over this bill. And he ended up signing it without, you know, when he told us he wouldn't. So nobody really trusts him. And that was really the impetus for this challenge, because that's what primary is about. Primaries are about holding people accountable for their actions in office. And so had he gone unchallenged and had we just let us all, the entire Republican folks, be intimidated by his pocketbook, that would have sent a terrible message to people in the future who want to get involved in politics.
So there's a group of Republicans out there like you who've left Rauner's side in part because of this issue, abortion. And with all the other issues facing the state of Illinois, are you concerned that the outcome of this Republican primary fight between you and he might be an ultimately Democrat ends up winning in November?
Well, what we do know is that if Rauner is elected on March 20th, he will lose in November of 2018 because he's lost his base. And it's not just over the pro-life issue. It's over the sanctuary state bill that he signed. It's over the fact that he won't even recognize our president, our Republican president, or work with him. It's over his bailout of Chicago public schools at the expense of taxpayers statewide, where literally they have $17 billion in debt and they're socializing that cost through the education funding formula that he signed. And that's going to just extract wealth and money, resources that should go to suburban and downstate schools to pay off Chicago public schools. So it's these crony type bills that he signed where he couldn't lead on policy and get a good deal for taxpayers. We're also upset about that. This is not a one-issue challenge to Governor Rauner. He has wholesalely failed to perform on the fiscal front and then betrayed us on the social front. I mean, that's his record. And as National Review said, he's the worst Republican governor in America. So that's where the challenge is coming from.
Term limits has become a central issue. One of our local House races here between State Representative Dan Brady and his Republican primary challenger, David Paul Blumenschein, who's endorsed you in this race. Where do you stand on term limits for both rank-and-file lawmakers and for legislative leaders?
Yeah, I actually filed my own term limit bill when I first showed up in 2013. I did not intend to stay forever as a state legislator. And in fact, I'm term limiting myself by taking Bruce Rauner on in this primary. You know, I could sit back and be a backbencher and not raise issues and sit there for 20 years because I sit in what most people consider a relatively safe Republican seat. And but I didn't take the state pension. I didn't take state health care. I went down there to work for the taxpayers and to get something done. And that's what I'm doing. So, I've term limited myself, so to speak, but I do believe in term limits.
This is GLT's Sound Ideas. I'm Ryan Denham. I'm here with State Representative Jeannie Ives, a Republican candidate for governor in Tuesday's primary. She's challenging incumbent Governor Bruce Rauner. We just saw student protests around the state advocating for stricter gun control in the wake of the Parkland, Florida shooting. What did you think of those walkouts?
I thought they should have been done on private time. There's no reason to disrupt a school day and to actually participate, especially in a public school setting. This is taxpayer dime, taxpayer time, and those kids need to be in school. And if they want to protest, they can do it afterwards. But many people felt, pressured into walking out of school. And so my campaign chairman, Chris Cleveland, actually filed a complaint against Chicago Public Schools because they had even middle school administrators leading marches out of those schools. And these are 10 to 14-year-olds who don't know what they're walking out of school about. and shouldn't feel pressured into doing something of a political nature that they don't know what they're not comfortable with. And yet that's what they had, they were doing. So it's wrong for public institutions to lead that sort of protest over a single issue. And that's how I feel about it.
If that's how you feel about the walkouts, I also want to ask, what can the state of Illinois do from a legislative perspective to curb school shootings, presuming that you think that there have been too many of them?
Any school shooting is one too many, obviously. It's horrific and tragic. And what we need to do is look at what Indiana's doing. They have one particular school where they've hardened that school. So they have special doors that are very secure. You can't get into them. Special glass. They have panic buttons for teachers inside where they can relay to first responders. Are they safe? Are they not safe? Is there a medical emergency in that room? They've got places where they can literally seal off hallways so that you can trap the shooter in that situation. And then they've got visual aids, cameras everywhere, so first responders know where to do what to do and where the perpetrator is, so they can attack where they need to. And I think that's a good idea. I think that's an option. I don't know that every school needs to do that. They probably don't. And I think, you know, there's no problem with some schools putting in metal detectors or armed security. I don't have a problem with that. Even a Southern Illinois school has suggested that arming teachers. Now, a teacher should only be armed if they would want to do it, if they're trained, and if they qualify with a weapon on a regular basis. I have no problem with that either. But I think this is a district-by-district issue, because not all districts have these problems. And I think the local levels, we don't listen enough to the local level. They know how to solve their problems. But I'm open to suggestions.
Yeah, and there are a lot of gun-related bills now floating through legislature at kind of sort of different stages, mm-hmm. a ban on bump stocks, minimum age bills, that kind of thing. Any of those that you would support on the gun side?
I did vote for banning bump stocks because we've had a ban against automatic weapons since 1934, and any device that would make it similar or close to an automatic weapon should therefore be banned. The other bills, though, we're not going to solve anything that happened in Florida with the Parkland shooting. They didn't address mental health. There was an issue. They didn't address the lack of disciplinary measures being taken on this student while he was in school, and there were a number of infractions that were not dealt with, nor were mental health alerted to his issues. There were at least, 37-39 contacts with local law enforcement, and nothing happened. Then you had two credible threats brought up to the FBI, and they failed to take action. So you had a wholesale failure of government watching out for students in what could have been a very preventable incident. So there was no bill in Springfield that addressed government accountability on those issues.
So you had one face-to-face debate with Governor Rauner since this primary campaign began. You received praise by many Republicans for your performance at that debate in front of the Chicago Tribune editorial board. John Cass, a columnist for the Trib, said that you proved you were, quote, more serious policy wonk than social conservative warrior, unquote. Do you find that's a distinction that you find yourself having to make with other voters, members of the media like myself? Can you talk about that a little bit?
All the time. They want to focus on basically fringe issues to the majority of Illinoisans and not focus on the finances. And it's typical in Springfield. I mean, that's how bills get passed. It's all on emotions and talking points rather than real policy analysis. And it's kind of a shallow way to look to deflect from the serious problems that are facing us fiscally. And that's terrible. I mean, I went down there to help the taxpayers. And if you look at all of my bills that I have filed for now the last 6 years, they predominantly, if not 90% of them, deal with fiscal issues, government accountability, transparency, pension reform, school debt reform, property tax reform, giving citizens a better input into the government process, all of that. And it's ignored for fringe issues that, you know, apparently they think voters get, you know, emotional over. It's ridiculous, because when I talk to people around the state, You know what they get emotional over? The fact that they may lose their job, that their kids can't find a job here, that families are getting split up, that they can't afford education at the higher level in the state of Illinois, that they may lose their home because property taxes are taxing them out of existence here. How about the fact that just last a year ago, this entire area that we're sitting in right now was considered in recession? You know, you lost a huge manufacturing plant, a huge car plant, right? State Farm is moving people in and out, right? And that doesn't help anybody. And those issues are ignored time and time and time again to pick up on these fringe issues that affect a very minor part of the population.
Well, to that end, you've talked about fringe issues and your preference, as you put it, for talking about kind of fiscal economic issues. So how does that square with, for example, the thank you ad that you ran, I think, last month or 2 months ago, where you've got sort of a cartoonish version of a trans person and a cartoonish version of a woman's rights activist and a few others, you know, thanking Governor Rauner in sort of a sarcastic way for doing this and that. And basically, the allegation is that he's been insufficiently conservative on some of this stuff. So how does that square with what you're telling me about these fringe issues versus the kind of the economic stuff?
That's a great question. Because first of all, that ad was not just about one issue, right? That ad was about the fact that Governor Rauner put in a bill that took the 10th Amendment the morning of before it was passed, because he just had to get a deal done. And that bill, the bill I'm talking about, is bailing out Exelon, a $2.2 billion net profitable company the year before. Now taxpayers are subsidizing to the tune of $2.35 billion. Okay, and that take that in context. We send about 25% of the energy that we produce in the state of Illinois to other states. So what are you doing now? You're subsidizing actually lower electricity rates outside of our state. I mean, that's not a fringe issue. That's an economic issue. The bailout of Chicago Public School teacher pension funds, which is also highlighted in that ad, is a economic issue. That ad was not just one ad, which you guys all want to focus on, okay, or maybe not you, but others want to focus on. How about the sanctuary state bill? Yeah, the person was depicted in Antifa. Well, I would encourage people to sit with Eric Brady, whose wife was killed by a criminal illegal alien, or Brian McCann, whose brother was killed by a criminal illegal alien, and justice has not been served because law enforcement did not hold them. All right, so I think that's a rule of law issue. It's not a fringe issue. Taxpayer funding of abortion is also an economic issue in a state that is bankrupt, because now you see Planned Parenthood has opened up one brand new clinic in Illinois and plans to open up four more. See, because they see the taxpayers in Illinois as a profit center. And considering that our Medicaid eligibility is like a sieve, I guarantee you that there will be out-of-state folks coming here for abortions that taxpayers will end up paying for. So these are not fringe issues. These are economic issues as well. And that ad basically showed the constituencies and the policies that Rauner put in place and who he sided with. That's what that ad was about.
Well, let's stay on campaign ads for a second, just to kind of track the news of the day.
Good.
What did you think of the Democratic Governors Association's new ad, the one that calls you too conservative? It's a not-so-sneaky play to maybe make you appear more attractive to Republican primary voters. So what do you think of that?
Yeah, that's great. They either are getting ready for me to win on March 20th and want to, you know, soften up the battlefield, or they're trying to pick me as their opponent. Whatever, that's fine. I disagree with the ad completely. I think that, the people know where I stand on these issues. They know who I am, and I've never hid from it. But then we move on, right? We need to talk about economics. And there's nobody in this state that's going to lead the tax revolt that has to happen in 2018 if we're going to survive. And nobody's going to do it but me.
State Representative Jeannie Ives running for governor, speaking with GLT's Ryan Denham.